Good morning, or rather, good evening for those of you listening on Pal Talk. As always, I want to start off and I want to thank Pastor Rory for, again, giving us deacons the opportunity to come up here and teach you what it is we've been learning about lately. And I want to go even further and thank Pastor Rory for just the faith and the confidence that he has in God by allowing us to come up here, using this essentially as a training platform. And that takes a lot of faith and that takes a lot of confidence to let us do that. So thank you. I want to focus our attention on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives indwelling me. And the Zoe life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and who gave himself up as a substitute for me. And as I remind us every time, this is why we come to church. We come here because in those tough times that we go through, we can remember that it's Christ who lives through us. And by his omnipotence and by his unconditional love, we can handle any circumstance that we ever find ourselves in. So my challenge for us on this next hour is that we focus our attention on God and on his word, so that way we can learn in here what we need to use out there in the real world. Just like we read about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that way you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now is the time to let your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's go ahead and listen to Sanctus Real, Worship Our Lord in Song, while you concentrate on your Lord and Savior. The opening song is Pray.
I'm gonna pray. surrender, lay it down.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Please help us to learn to wait on you in your perfect timing. Help us to learn that your plans are bigger and better than any picture that we have in our own minds. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. So welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Caleb, and I am one of the deacons here at Barah. Welcome to a ministry that's designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's study, practice patience and perseverance. So if you have already had an opportunity to listen to Deacon Elliott's lesson, think of mine as Elliott's part two. So mine will just be the sequel, I guess. And to get started today, I have a question for you, or rather, I have a few questions. How often do you find yourself praying for patience? How often do you find yourself on your very last nerve? How often do you find yourself tired of waiting and wandering around, hoping for a result of your choosing to finally happen? You know, and I ask these questions about your patience because hopefully that describes all of us. You know, all of us have our patience tested daily. All of us wish that we would see results sooner. You know, maybe there's something in your life right now that you're just plain old sick and tired of going through. And hopefully you are. That way I'm not the only one. Because we all have parts in our life that they don't necessarily move at the speed at which we would choose them to. And hopefully by the end of this lesson, that won't change. But at least you'll be okay with it. You see, God doesn't make us endure these events in our lives because he's too busy on the other side of the earth answering other people's prayers. You know, God doesn't work that way. God wants his highest and best for us. That's the line that we buy. That's the line that we've heard so many times, is that God wants his absolute highest and best possibly for us. Well, if God wants his highest and best for us, then why do we still have so many annoying events to go through? You know, why is it that we have to wait so long for specific outcomes to occur? And I think those are valid questions. I think those are questions that a lot of us ask sometimes. And, you know, essentially what we're asking is, if God is so powerful, and God is so loving, then why don't we get what we want when we want it? Right? That's what we're asking. We're saying if God is so powerful and God is so loving, then why don't we get what we want when we want it? And you see, when I say it out loud, the answer is pretty simple, isn't it? Even parents know that you can't do that to your children. At least not right away. You see, because as parents, you genuinely do want to give anything and everything you can to your kids. You're just not going to give it to them right away. You're not always going to give what your children ask for the moment they ask for it. Well, why? I think that's another good question. Why don't parents do that to their children? Why is it, as a parent, you don't give anything and everything that your child asks for right away? And I'll make this elementary. We're just going to use a really small, easy example. Think of your 8-year-old. If you have an 8-year-old kid and they just ask you for a car, you're not going to give your 8-year-old a car. It doesn't make sense, right? I mean, if you like your kid, you might give him a Hot Wheel or two, but you're not going to give him the keys to a car, especially at that age. That's a weapon. And, you know, even though you want, you're not going to do that to your children, right? You're not going to give an 8-year-old things that isn't in their best interest at that time. And the answer, the short, simple, easy answer is because you want your highest and best for your children. And an 8-year-old having a car isn't his highest and best, even though he might think it is. You know better because you have enough foresight to look into the future and know the consequences for your children, both good and bad. You know, for any circumstance that your children are going to find themselves in, you'll know the outcome to any choice that they make because you already have that foresight. Well, if that's true, if you as a parent know what's best for your child, then how much more true is it that God knows what's best for you? You know, that's me saying it, but if you want, you can listen to God himself say it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. This is Jesus. He says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" You know? And I'm asking these questions for you as much as I am for myself, because I ask God all the time, why is it that I have to wait so long for different things to happen? I find myself being so impatient sometimes, and it's always this, it's an ongoing joke between my wife and myself, because she can wait forever for anything. She can wait in line for 48 days just for a movie rental. She has so much patience when it comes to waiting for things. Now, when it comes to people, on the other hand, that clock ticks a little faster for her. She's not as patient with people, and that's where the joke comes in, because I'm amazingly patient with people. I know that strength I have. You can come and sit at my desk, and you can give me your whole life story, and I'll take all day listening to you. Not a problem at all. But on the flip side of the coin, you're never going to see me voluntarily go to an amusement park. I hate them. I hate waiting in lines. I never get the payoff. I hate waiting for things to happen for myself. I literally don't even like going to grocery stores. I start to get anxious. I don't like waiting in the lines of grocery stores. Even traffic drives me nuts. And it's funny because when I feel myself getting worked up, there's a lesson that Pastor Rory taught years ago that God always reminds me of. God always reminds me of this lesson that Pastor Rory taught. He said, imagine in your mind the most amazing life that you can come up with. And I still remember, I'm in there, I have my eyes closed, I'm imagining the best life possible. And then he told us to smash that. He said, get rid of all of those thoughts. He said that those dreams that you have in your mind, they're pathetic. And I'm like, oh man, well, that's not very inspirational now, is it? Good thing I'm going to church. And then he goes, they're too limiting. He said that the picture that God himself has painted for your life is so much better by far. It's so much better than anything that you can come up with. You know, why do we confine our lives to such limiting thoughts and viewpoints? Why do we try so hard to put restraints on what God can do for us? You know, maybe when we're enduring hardships in our lives, maybe God's actually in the middle of answering our prayers. I want you to think of times in your life. Think of times in your life where maybe you were praying, but that prayer wasn't answered right away. And yet the result of the situation actually ended up being better for you. And I know now you're probably trying to think of all these examples in your head, so keep thinking, and I'll give you one that just happened for Barah. You know, how many of you remember when Barah was trying to purchase a piece of property? And then we finally found one. And we put an offer on it, everything's going, but then the deal ended up falling through. Well, that same piece of property got back on the market later for a cheaper price. And then God decided to give it to us. You know, during the time, obviously, we weren't happy. We thought, you know, things are supposed to go our ways. We're praying, and God didn't pull through. Well, he did pull through. He pulled through billions of years before we ever even asked him. And quite frankly, we didn't need the property then or now, you know. We still haven't used it, but we at least have it. And I'll give you a personal story too, just in case you're still trying to find, you know, events in your life where it's happened. Before, you know, Amanda and I were from Oregon. And before we moved down, we were both seniors in college. And we said, okay, well, we're going to move down to Arizona. We're seniors in college. We should be graduating soon, start our careers. Let's take advantage of the housing market and let's go and buy a house. So that's what we did. We flew down to Arizona for a week and we looked at dozens of homes. And we finally found, you know, our dream home for our first house. It, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, had the Arizona landscape, it had a swimming pool, stucco, tile roof. It was everything we wanted, and it was our first house, and we were so excited. So we went ahead, we put an offer on it, it got accepted. Everything was going smooth. We flew back to Oregon, you know, dealing with the inspections. Everything's going just the way that we had planned. And then at the very end, the seller actually ended up backing out, and the deal fell through. So we didn't get the house, obviously. We still moved down, and we ended up getting an apartment for a couple years. And living in that apartment, we were able to see the whole city. We were able to find out exactly, you know, where it is we wanted to have a house. And even more importantly than that, you're living in pretty close proximity to people. So we got to know neighbors, and we got to make some amazing relationships as a result. I still don't even know my neighbors to this date, you know, because we ended up buying a house. God finally gave us a house, and the funny part is, this house that he gave us now, it's bigger. It was actually 4-bedroom, 2-bath. It came with a hot tub. The property itself was bigger. The price was lower. The interest rate was lower. The insurance on the house was lower. Consequently, a lower monthly payment, and it happened to be on the exact same highway exit of the first house that we got. So again, I ask you, think about events in your life that you've gone through. Or think about events in your life that you're actually going through. Because believe me, God was working on that outcome the whole time. Or if you happen to be currently going through something, God is working on that outcome right now. You know, and I challenge you, just continue to be patient with God. And trust that he has his highest and best for you. Because he proves it in his will. And he proves it in his word. On every single page of it. And this, I'm convinced, is why God gives us the story of Joshua. He gives us the story of the walls of Jericho. And just in case you don't know the story of the city of Jericho, I'm going to set up the scene for you. And for those of you who want to dive in more, feel free to just... It's in the book of Joshua in chapter 6. But essentially, this is what it is. Joshua succeeded Moses. You know, Moses had just passed away, and Joshua succeeded him, and he was the commander of the Israelites. And they were in the process of conquering the land of Canaan, This is, you know, the land of milk and honey. This is the promised land that God gave them. And keep in mind that this is after 40 years of wandering the desert. So God was really testing their patience. And the way it went is the Israelite army, they marched around this city. They marched around the city of Jericho once a day. Now, the city was only about 8.5 acres big. So it didn't take that much time for a trained army to march around the city. So you could just imagine them just waiting, being bored. Sorry, there's a bug. You can just imagine them waiting and being bored for the rest of the day. You know, looking at this obstacle in their way, just wishing that it would finally just be gone. And they did that 7 days in a row. Just woke up, marched once, and probably just goofed off impatiently for the rest of the day. And then on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times. And then they all shouted, and that's when the walls tumbled down and they were able to go in and conquer the city. So here's a question that somebody else asked on the radio. And I wish I knew who it was so that way I can give him some credit. But I love the question that he asked so much that I'm taking it and I'm going to remember this lesson for the rest of my life. And I'm going to give it to you now, so hopefully you can take that too. I'm going to ask you the exact same question. He said, you know, in reference to this story, he said, what if the army got tired? What if the army just decided they didn't want to march anymore? What if they quit on that sixth day? Or worse, what if they spent 7 days marching around the city? And then they marched around the city 7 times on that last day, but they decided they didn't want to shout anymore. They were done. They quit. Well, how often do we do that? How often do we lose patience and we stop ourselves just short of a miracle? How often do we stop something the moment we lose patience with it instead of actually persevering through it? And the good news is, because of God's grace, you likely can't answer most of those questions. You likely don't know the outcomes of all the times that you quit in life. And you can thank God for that. I mean, do you think that the Israelites wanted to dance around this city for a week, looking like idiots after they had just wandered around for 40 years? I'm pretty sure they didn't. They probably just wanted to go right in and just take over the city and have it. You know, they were tired. They're probably just tired of waiting. But God had something better planned for them. You see, God was cooking a stew. God wasn't just giving them a microwave TV dinner. You know, that's how it is if I'm going to make dinner for you. But God wanted them just to sit and simmer for a little while he's working on a miracle on their behalf. And God does the same things for us in our lives as well. So again, God wants his highest and best for you. And when we come back from the break, we're going to look into some more examples that God gives us about this. So let's go ahead, let's take a 5-minute break, and let's listen to Dry by Cutlass. Welcome back. I want to spend the last half of this lesson looking into some more biblical examples of God pulling through for us. And one verse that I would love to have ringing through your ears during the lesson, of course, but even after this lesson is finished, it's Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. And this is God telling the church at Ephesus some of the things that he likes about them. You know, and I'm just going to zoom in because I just want to focus on one small part. This is what God is saying, you know, things that he likes about them. And he says, you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake. You have perseverance and you've also endured for my name's sake. Now, maybe this is me just, you know, being selfish and greedy and egotistical, but that's something that I want God to say about me also. I want to have those same attributes. I never want my light to burn out. I always want my light to shine. Always. No matter what. Especially when it's hard. Just like it says in Matthew chapter 5. Let's actually go there. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. I'll give you some time to get there. And this is how I want my light to be. This is what it says. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But instead, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Therefore, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, of course, we know that this isn't always easy. In fact, it's really, really hard. It's really, really difficult for us to show God's glory when nothing is going the way that we planned. You know, and this is why God tells us to be patient, though. Because through your patience and through your perseverance while you're going through difficult times, you can actually lead other people to Christ. Because that beacon of light that you have draws them closer and closer and closer to you. And by you enduring the hardships in your own life, you can actually lead other people to Christ and be an effective witness for them. And that's exciting. Ignore all the promises that God has for you. Ignore all the stuff that we learned about in the first half of the lesson, how God always pulls through for you. You know, it's exciting that your suffering can lead other people to Christ. Your suffering can lead other people to Christ. That is, if you handle it well. That is, if you're not being a Debbie Downer. Because, believe me, if you're being sour while you're going through these tough times, you probably feel alone. You know, when you're going through circumstances in life and you're one of those people who always has a negative attitude, you're also probably one of those people who always feels like they have to go through these events alone. But on the flip side, have you ever actually tried to have a good attitude when you're in times of need? Because I'm telling you, people will flock to you when you have a good attitude. And quite frankly, I can't think of anything better. I can't think of anything better than knowing for a fact that God has his highest and best for me. I can't think of anything better than knowing for a fact that exercising my faith through patience and perseverance could actually lend me opportunities to lead other people to Christ. Seriously, that blows my mind. Now, I share with you stories about my life. I've shared, you know, I'm like an open book. I've shared plenty of stories with you. And as I've shared with you before, it's taken me a while, you know, to finally get why God's given me so many stories. You know, and now I know why God's allowed me to experience so many different things in my life in such a short amount of time. And He's allowed these events to happen for me, not just for my benefit. And that's what I used to think. But he's actually allowed these things to happen to me for the benefit of others around me also. And he's allowed these things to happen for me for the benefit of people who will be around me in the future. He's given me teaching tools to use for the rest of my life. And I'm grateful for that. But, I mean, now how true is that in your life as well? Right? Because I know I'm not the only one with stories. I'm not the only one who's ever had things happen to him in his life. You know, some of you, you're going through circumstances right now. And because of those experiences, and because of what you're experiencing now, you're going to be able to help somebody one day get through the same exact situation later. And I know that you probably think you're the only one going through it, or that you're the only one who has gone through it. And I know this because I used to think the exact same way. I used to think that some of the things that I've seen and experienced, that was unique, only to me. And nobody else is ever going to have to go through that. But I can't tell you, after talking with more and more people, these same stories happen to other people every single day. And I'll share with you, I wasn't going to, but I guess I will now. I used to do this little thing called street evangelism, and we would tour all of California. And we would just talk to people out in the streets, and they would just give us their life story, essentially. And that's, when I was doing that, that's what helped me realize that, whoa, I'm not the only one who's done this. I'm not the only one who has had this happen. And I think that's what defines living the Christian way of life. Because we all have stories. But most of us never use them to help somebody else. Most of us keep our stories locked up. Most of us want to keep them safe and hidden so that way nobody else can ever learn from them. Because it's private. And we don't think that anybody else has gone through that. But I believe, personally, that when you can share these experiences, when you can share what you went through, and you can share what you learned about in that process, or rather, when you can share about what you're going through and what you're currently learning about in the process, that you can actually help positively affect somebody else's life. You can give a ray of hope to someone who needs it desperately. You don't know how many times you stopped somebody from committing suicide because you are potentially their last conversation. You can be somebody after God's own heart that he uses to lead other people towards him. And again, that should be extremely exciting for you. And hopefully at least lend some comfort too in case you're going through something. Now that's just me. That's my opinion, but here's what James has to say. And I do want you to turn here too. Turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. I want you to see this. Again, it's James chapter 1. And we're just going to look at verses 2 through 4. This is what James says about going through different situations in your life. James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. and let endurance have its perfect result. So that way, you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What he's saying here is, these situations that happen in your life actually build you up. It doesn't feel like it when it's happening. Okay, I get that. That's never any fun. But it does. It does build you up. You know, how about the example of Job? He lost everything, and he ends up getting it back plus some. And now Job is written about as an example for billions of people for years to come. Now, I use Job as an extreme example, of course, because we're probably never going to experience what he went through. We're probably never going to experience anything even close. And because of this, I think that the story of Job always helps to put our lives back into perspective. Not that I want to downplay our problems, but quite frankly, most of them are exactly what we like to joke about. They're first world problems. Most of our problems in this world would be a blessing to somebody else in another country. And, you know, we may not always get what we want when we want it all of the time. But again, we're likely not going to have to experiencing, you know, some of the stuff that Job went through, or really some of the stuff that other people are currently going through in this world. And yet, God pulled through for Job. God's going to pull through for them. And how many times has God pulled through for you? And just like we learned about in the first half of this lesson, waiting on God does have benefits. God does take care of you. We're going to look at another story. And we're going to look at the story of Noah and the Ark. And I know it might seem fairly elementary to you, but there might not be a better example of a person who demonstrated patience and persevered through an event than Noah. And while I, you know, just go through some of what Noah went through, I just want you to know Noah was a person. Noah was a real human being. Noah wasn't just a story that was put into the book of Genesis for us to learn from. You know, the events of Noah's life actually happened, and they were chronicled. You know, every single major ancient civilization in the world, even non-Christian civilizations, have a story of a great global flood and of a boat that saved the human race. Every single civilization has that story. It took Noah 120 years to build this boat that can hold tens of thousands of animals, probably about 35,000. That bug is back, just to get onto my nerves. And I should use some patience. And he built this boat on dry ground. In fact, there's some evidence that suggests that, you know, there's a theory that goes around that the earth hadn't even seen rain yet. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but just imagine if it is true. He's building a boat on dry ground in a desert, and human race hasn't even seen rain yet. And it's taken him 120 years to build it. Well, finally, he gets this boat built. And he gets all these loud animals in the boat. He gets his whole family in there. Boat closes. And then that sound of rain pattering against that boat for the next 40 days nonstop. Now, I know any of you born, bred, native Arizonans would love this. You know, you guys get all giddy when you see rain. You go out the window. You're like, oh my gosh, I wonder how long it's going to last. But being from Oregon, let me tell you, when you see rain for 40 days straight, suicidal thoughts start to run through your head. It is the worst. And he had to listen to that for 40 days nonstop. And then eventually that rain just slowed down. And then you would think, great, now he gets silence. Well, no, he's just not listening to rain. Now he can hear all the animals and he can hear his family. And he did that for the next 30 days, just went around floating around in the boat. And then eventually that boat stopped. And for the next 221 more days, him and his family had to wait in anticipation until that land was finally safe enough for his family to exit the ark. That's patience. I mean, that's it. Nobody else is ever going to have to be that patient in life. I'm sorry. Again, not to downplay your problem, but you're not going to beat that. I'm not going to beat that. And we're looking at Job and we're looking at Noah, obviously, as extreme examples. Because, you know, it helps remind us that if God can pull through for them in these extreme examples, and he did, then it stands to reason that he can clearly help us too. And I'm going to read a poem for us tonight that Pastor Rory's read a couple times and that many of you probably heard before, but that's okay because this poem never gets old. And the poem is titled Don't Quit. And it's exactly what the poem is about. It's about not quitting. And I'll read it. It says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure comes about when he might have won had he stuck it out. So don't give up, though the pace seems slow, because you may succeed with another blow. And often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down just how close he was to that golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell just how close you are, because it may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit, because it's when things seem worst that you must not quit. This poem clearly summarizes this lesson. How often do we quit when we feel like we just can't take it anymore? How often do we give up on other people because we're losing patience with them? You know, my challenge for us is that we persevere through these tough times. Because again, it always works out for our benefit. It doesn't always give us the result we want. I didn't say that. I said it always works out for our benefit. Again, just like the 8-year-old kid, he didn't get the result that he wanted, but it was still for his benefit, and he didn't realize that until he was 28. You know, that's the same way in our lives. Sometimes a prayer doesn't even get answered for us right away the way that we wanted it to. And then in hindsight, being 2020, we look back on it years later and thank God for that. We thank God for the same thing that we were praying against years later. And like I said, my challenge is that we persevere through these tough times. Because again, it does work out for our benefit. And Paul is echoing these same sentiments as me. And before I was joking around, especially with the other deacons teaching, I said, no, I made a Romans lesson. And that's how I'm going to weave it in. Because, you know, being that we're in the study of Romans, I think it's appropriate that we at least look at one passage in the book of Romans this evening. And we're going to do that right before we end this lesson. And I can't think of a better passage in Romans that more appropriately sums up the lesson than Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. So let's have you turn there, and that's where we're going to end the lesson on. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And this is Paul talking. He says, but we also, exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. That's beautiful. That's Paul summing up the lesson for you tonight. So again, the challenge for you tonight as we end this lesson is to be patient. It's not to quit. It's to be patient with people. Be patient with God. Be patient with the circumstances in your life and persevere through it. Persevere through these tough times by remembering the promises of God, both for you and for the other people who are going to come into your life one day. And now you're going to have a story that can help them get through the same thing. So thank you. And our closing song is going to be Mountain of God by Third Day.
Broken and afraid, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Well, and I didn't even know that I had lost my way, but you were there with me. Yes, you were there with me. Until you opened up my eyes, I never knew that I couldn't ever make it without you. And even though the journey is long, and I know the road is hard, well, the one who's gone before me, he will help me carry on. And after all that I've been through, well, now I realize the truth, that I must go through the valley to stand.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. God, thank you for teaching us to be patient. And thank you for teaching us to persevere even when we want to quit, having faith that you're working everything out. And I pray that you give us endurance, the endurance that we need to get through anything that we're going through, and to keep our focus on you and your word. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.